Hey, this last week, it was Veterans Day on Thursday, and here at Bethel Church, we always like to take time to honor our veterans among us, and I know some of you are here this morning, and so we want to just take a moment out of our service today to say thank you so much for serving our country. So if I could just ask all of our veterans that are here this morning, would you please stand up across this auditorium? Thank you. Yes, yes, thank you. Thank you, thank you for your service. And if you just remain standing, one of our ushers is going to come and bring you a little gift card. And this is just a token of our appreciation. Thank you so much for serving our country in various ways. And church, once again, would you just say thank you to our veterans this morning? Yeah. Yes, thank you so much. And then let me remind all of the guys, tonight, Tuesday night, 6:30, we have our men's battle briefing, and it is in the evening, all right? So make sure you make note of that. It's 6:30 in the evening, Tuesday night. A lot of times this is in the morning, so get it right, 6:30 in the evening. And don't say to yourself, well, I'll just come to the next one, because we only do three or four of these a year, all right? So these are great times for us to gather together as men of God, and to be encouraged. We're going to have some worship together. I'm going to bring a message for guys, and it's going to be a great time. Also, this time, we are going to be showing your hunting and fishing pictures. So if you've got, you know, a trophy elk or some, you know, a great string of fish or, you know, whatever, big marlin that you caught, send your pictures to Chrissy@MedfordBethel.com, and we're going to show those Tuesday night at men's battle briefing, okay? Finally, I want to mention that next Sunday is a special day. It's our annual Give Thanks Sunday. So the Sunday before Thanksgiving every year, we take the entire service and just dedicate that time for giving thanks to the Lord. And we do that in a lot of different ways. We'll have some special music, our regular worship, of course. We're going to share communion. But one of the things that we do every year at Give Thanks Sunday is we share your thanksgivings. And so hopefully you got a card when you came in this morning. If you didn't, you can get one in the back after church. But on that card, just write in something you're thankful for. It could be something that's happened recently, an answered prayer. It could be a general thanksgiving to the Lord. This is what God has done in my life. This is what the Lord means to me. And then we read, not all of those, but we read a bunch of them at that service. So we'll be doing that next Thursday. Another special, our next Wednesday, next Sunday. It's on Sunday. And then another thing that we're going to be doing in that service is we're going to receive a special offering called a thank offering. Now, in the Old Testament, a thank offering was not a regular tithe offering or the regular giving. It was just above our tithe to say thank you to the Lord, all right? And so next week, we're going to receive a thank offering, and this is just a way of saying, God, you've blessed me so much. This is my way of saying thank you to you. And so it's going to be a great Sunday next Sunday. And then one more thing, one more announcement, and this has to do with our service schedule. We have, since fall, we've gone back to two services, and we've been able to see in these last few weeks especially that we really don't need to have two services right now. And so we're going to go back to one service at 10 o'clock. And I know a number of you've expressed that you wish there was, you know, you were connecting with more people that you're used to seeing. And so we're going to do that. I don't like, you know, changing on you. But then again, I don't like staying with something that we don't really need to be doing. And so we're going to make that change. And it's going to happen on Sunday, December 5th. Okay, so the first Sunday of December, and it's going to be just a great time to do that because it's kind of a coming together for the Christmas season. We realize that for some of you, you've been wanting to get back to one service. For some of you, it might be inconvenient or a difficult thing, and so we just appreciate your patience. We're just trying to make it work the best, church, and we think this is a good plan. So December 5th, one service, 10 o'clock. Okay, as Pastor Roger mentioned earlier, we're going to be talking about a word today. Now, usually It's pretty unusual for me to build an entire message around one word, especially a word that's not even found in the Bible. But this is a word that's been so on my heart lately, I just wanted to talk about it. And even though it's not found in the Bible, the importance of this word and the characteristic of being a tenacious person is really found throughout the Bible. So today we're going to talk about the word tenacious. Tenacious. Now, some of you might be thinking, okay, that's great, Pastor Tim, but before you talk about this word, I'd like to know what it actually means. So, the dictionary definition of the word tenacious is this: tending to keep a firm hold of something, clinging or adhering closely, as in a tenacious grip. All right, so holding on to something and not giving up, holding on tightly, not readily relinquishing a position, principle, or course of action. So you see in the word tenacious, the word ten, at the very beginning of it, ten, which means to hold on to something. So it means to be determined, resolute, unshakable, immovable. The opposite of tenacious would be tenuous, and you hear that word ten again in that word. That means to hold on to something loosely. All right, so to be tenuous is to be flimsy or shaky or questionable or sketchy, and that's what we don't want to have happen in our lives, to be tenuous. So some examples of tenaciousness, or what it means to have tenacity, that I think about an athlete that gets up, you know, early in the morning, every day of the week, and goes out and trains, rain or shine, so that they can become better at what they do. I think of a young couple eager to adopt, and so they scrimp and they save and they scrape together every last dollar until they have enough to afford that adoption. I think of an alcoholic who refuses to miss a meeting or miss church because he's tenaciously staying sober. I think of a soldier who will die before he leaves his buddies on the battlefield. I also think of a praying grandmother who gets down on her knees every day without fail to name her grandchildren before God. Even when her grandkids aren't doing so well, she keeps on praying. I think of a coal miner who goes down into a hole 5 days a week in order to feed his family. So these are all examples, and actually as I'm saying these things, I'm looking around, and so many of you I've seen in your life, you are examples of what it means to be tenacious. And thank you, Sharon, so much for coming up this morning, spur of the moment like that. You did such a great job in sharing what God has been doing in your life over these last 5 years. So examples of being tenacious. The Bible is full of examples of tenacity. And when I first started preparing this message, one of the people that I thought of right away is Jacob, because of how Jacob wrestled with the Lord, and he wouldn't let go. You know, he wouldn't let go of God, and he's about to face one of the biggest trials of his life. The next day, God shows up in human form, and Jacob takes a hold of the Lord and says, "I'm not letting go until you bless me." Right? So it's that kind of tenacity. Or I also think of Ruth. You remember the story of Ruth and her mother-in-law, Naomi. Ruth's husband had died, and Naomi's husband had died, and they were in the land of Moab. And so Naomi is going to head back to her people in Israel. And she tells her daughter-in-law, "You stay here with your people. I'm going to my people. There's no point in you going with me." But Ruth's response was, "Don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you." This is to her mother-in-law. "Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God will be my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." That's tenacity, folks. That's having a tenacious spirit. Or I also think about another woman by the name of Esther, who when King Xerxes had devised this plan to annihilate the Jewish people, Esther, who was Jewish, goes and stands before the king, even though it was unlawful for her to do so, and she tells her uncle Mordecai, I will go to the king even though it is against the law, and if I perish, I perish. Wow. Tenacity. Courage. Or I think, of course, of the famous story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who would not bow their knee to the golden statue of Nebuchadnezzar and told the king, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. That is tenacity. And then, of course, when I think about tenacity, I think about Jesus when he went to the cross. And the Bible says that Jesus, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Jesus, who endured such opposition from sinners that you may not grow weary and lose heart. The writer of Hebrews is saying, look, when you're going through a trial, when you feel like giving up, keep your eyes on Jesus and remember what he went through for you. And that tenacious spirit of Jesus will be in your heart as well. One of the great tenacious stories that Jesus told was a parable about prayer. And he tells a story about a woman who was a widow that would not give up. It says in Luke 18, in a certain town, Jesus said there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared about people. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with this plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused. But finally, he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or care about what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. That's tenacity, right? And then Jesus says this. He says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God will bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. So Jesus says, this is what tenacious praying looks like. You pray and you pray and you keep on praying and you don't give up. And when you feel like giving up, you still don't give up. You keep coming back to God because God is actually hearing your prayer and he's going to answer your prayer. Tenacious praying, holding on to God no matter what. Now, at the end of this parable, Jesus asks a pretty amazing question. He tells the parable about tenacity, but then at the end, he says this, however, when the Son of Man comes, this is not Luke 1:8, by the way. I just noticed that Luke 1:8 would be somewhere in the Christmas story, so we're not there yet. But however, when this, it's some chapter, verse 8, I know that. However, when the Son of Man comes, here's the question. Will he find faith on the earth? Jesus saying, are people going to be faithful? Jesus saying, I'm coming back. And when I come back, am I going to find a faithful church? Are my people going to be tenacious? Are they going to hold on tight? This is Jesus asking the question. Not because he doesn't know the answer, but because he wants us to think about the answer. Right? Are we going to be faithful no matter what? I read a statistic this last week that really caught my attention, and I was somewhat concerned about it. I shared this Wednesday night, so if you're here Wednesday night, bear with me. You're going to see this again. In the United States, church attendance decreases by 17% when it's raining. Okay, this is not, you know, persecution. It's not a pandemic. It's not a hurricane. It's not even snowing. It's raining, right? And 17% of American Christians will just pass on church and stay home if it's raining out. How many of you think, you know, we could learn a little lesson in tenacity, right? We could be a little more tenacious than that. Listen, I understand church attendance is not the one and only indicator of spiritual maturity, but it does indicate to us how tenacious we are being, how committed that we are. Now, you know, the question that comes to mind is, when it comes to this having a tenacious spirit thing, how does that, you know, how does that correlate, or how does that mix with us also being humble people and being gentle people and being tender-hearted people? Do those two things, can they go together? Can I be a tenacious person and also be a meek person? Can I be both of those things at the same time? Well, it must be possible because the Bible tells us to be both. So it must be possible. And Jesus is the ultimate example of someone who is both tenacious and meek at the same time. There's this really interesting, dramatic picture of Jesus in the book of Revelation, chapter 5. And in Revelation 5, Jesus is about to show up. Like, he's just coming on stage as John is watching this whole scene unfold. And the coming of Jesus is announced by one of the elders, who says this. He says, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." All right, so that's the introduction. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. And so you're expecting, like when Jesus to show up, you're expecting that he's going to show up as this big, ferocious lion. But actually what happens, even though he's been introduced as the Lion of the tribe of Judah, when he actually appears, he appears as a lamb. Now, you can't get much different from a lion than being a little lamb, right? Pretty much the opposite. So he's announced as a lion, and then he shows up as a lamb. So which is he? Well, he's both. Jesus is the Lion of Judah, and he's also the Lamb of God. And he's both at the same time. And so when you read the Gospels, you see Jesus sometimes being very lamb-like. Like, he washes his disciples' feet. He allows himself to be beaten and crucified. He's humble. He's gentle. He doesn't lash out. But there are also times in the Gospels where you see Jesus being very lion-like. Like, Jesus was not afraid to stand up to the religious oppressors of his day. Jesus stood at the entrance to the tomb that Lazarus had been buried in, and he cries out, "Lazarus, come out!" That's very lion-like, wouldn't you say? Yeah. So throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus being very lamb-like and very lion-like. And so as followers of Jesus, wanting to be imitators of him, it just follows that we should be both as well. We should be lamb-like. We should be humble and gentle and kind and meek and tender-hearted. But we should also be lion-like. We should be bold and courageous and fearless and tenacious. Amen? And the truth is, if you're all one way or the other, it's not going to look like Jesus. I mean, if you're all lion and no lamb, that doesn't look like Jesus, right? But if you're all lamb and no lion, that doesn't look like Jesus either. And so there needs to be lamb-like qualities about our lives, but there also needs to be lion-like qualities about our lives. And so I want to share with you this morning the ingredients of becoming a tenacious person. And I kind of got these by looking at people in the Bible that demonstrated tenacity, but also by looking at people that I've known that have had a tenacious spirit and said, what is it about that person? Okay, so I'm going to give you the five ingredients of tenacity, all right? The first one is this. The first part of the formula for becoming a tenacious person is this: a love of God and a love for others. It's tenacity because of love. Tenacity that is truly Christian is going to always be motivated by a loving heart, by loving Jesus and loving others. 2 Corinthians 5:14, the Apostle Paul writes this, "For Christ's love compels us." Everybody say compels. What compels us? Love, right? It's love that's the compelling ingredient in our lives. Tenacity is not about just me showing how brave I am, how strong I am. I'm going to dominate. I'm going to overcome. No, we're tenacious about things because of love, because of loving Jesus and loving people. Tenacity, it comes because of the love that we have in our hearts for God and for others. Some of you may possibly have not have heard of a guy by the name of Telemachus. You ever heard of Telemachus before? Well, you came to the right place. Telemachus was a monk that lived in the Roman Empire in the late 4th century. And he was in the Roman Empire, but he lived outside of Rome. He'd actually never been to Rome. And he decided that he was going to go visit Rome. So he goes and visits Rome, and he goes and visits the Colosseum. And he was amazed by, you know, this Colosseum and you know, this incredible structure that the Romans had built. And at that time, Rome had actually become a Christian empire. But they were still, you know, practicing gladiator battles. They weren't killing Christians anymore. Thank God for that. But there's still battles to the death taking place in the Colosseum, even though technically they're a Christian empire. And so Telemachus, he's curious about this. He goes to the Colosseum, and he can't believe his eyes, having never seen anything like this, believing they were truly a Christian empire. He sees men out battling one another to the death, and crowds cheering. And this monk is so disturbed in his spirit by this, he starts telling the people around him, "No, this isn't good. For the love of God, this is not good. Why are you cheering?" And he begins to cry out to more and more people, and he begins to move down the aisle toward the battlefield. And he's saying to the crowd, stop cheering for this. This is not good. This is not godly. For the love of God, stops. And finally, he's working himself down. He finds himself all the way out to where the gladiators are fighting. He's trying with all of his might. And now some of the crowd, they begin to laugh at him. Some were throwing stones at him. And in the midst of all of this, one of the gladiators comes over and he takes his sword and he puts it right through Telemachus's chest, killing him. And the crowd watched Telemachus, this monk, bleed to death. And the crowd grew silent, and one by one they started to walk out. And the Roman Emperor was so moved by what he saw that day that actually became the very last day that gladiators fought to the death in the Colosseum. And it all happened because of one man's love for God and love for people. Love for God and love for people. That's what causes us to be tenacious Christians. A second thing we need to have, a second ingredient for having a tenacious spirit, is clear biblical convictions. Clear biblical convictions. Romans chapter 8, verse 38 is a very famous, well-loved passage of Scripture where the Apostle Paul writes, "I am convinced," we'll come back to that, "I am convinced that neither height nor depth, nor angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus." Don't you just love that? And it all starts with Paul being convinced about this whole thing. I am convinced, right? You got to have some stuff in your life that you have convictions about. You got to have some stuff in your life that you are convinced about if you're going to be a tenacious person, right? And the old adage is true. I know it sounds kind of cliche, but it's so true. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. You got to know what you believe in and why you believe it, and that way you can stand. It'll give you courage. Last week, I read an article about a Brazilian soccer player, and I'm not even going to name his name because I'm about to throw him under the bus, and I don't really want to do that, but I'm going to use him as an example today. There's a Brazilian soccer player, very famous in Brazil, that until recently has been a very outspoken Christian. Talks about his faith all the time. So much so that people in Brazil were getting bothered by it. It was agitating them. And they began to complain to his team and saying, we're not going to come anymore. We're not going to cheer for this team anymore if this guy doesn't stop talking about Jesus. And so what the team did is they said, okay, we're going to pay him extra to not talk about Jesus. And he took them up on the deal. And so this soccer player, the true story, is now paid $630,000 a month to not talk about Jesus. Extra in his contract. Listen, $630,000 a month, that's a lot of money. I don't know where you come from, where I come from, that's a lot of money. $630,000 a month, but listen, at what cost? At what cost? The truth is, folks, if you can be bought, the devil will pay the price. We got to be people of conviction if we're going to have tenacity. Amen? Got to have some convictions that are worth more than money. A third ingredient that we need to have a tenacious spirit is we need a band of brothers and sisters, of course. Band of brothers. Now, here's why we got to have a band of brothers. If you're anything like me, there are days that you get up and you are ready to face the world, man. You got a tenacious spirit. You feel like, man, I got all the courage I need. I can take on anything. Bring it on. You have days like that. But also, if you're like me, to be honest, you have days you don't feel that way. You have days you're just like, I got nothing. Like if one more thing hits me, I feel like I'm going to fall over. I can't take anymore, right? And it's during those times in your life that you need some tenacious brothers and sisters that are going to stand by you and be your prayer partners and your encouragers, and they're going to breathe life into you. Amen? Yeah. We need brothers and sisters in our life that have a tenacious spirit for those days we don't feel very tenacious. We are told no less than 14 different times in the New Testament, in church, to encourage one another. Now, how many of you know God only has to tell us something once and we should do it? But when God says something 14 times, over and over, encourage one another, encourage one another. In fact, Hebrews 3, verse 13 says, encourage one another daily. Do it every day. And so years ago, I kind of took this on in my own life, and I just want to challenge you to take this on in your life. Would you make it your goal that every day of your life, you're going to encourage at least one person? Come on, wave your hand if you'll do it. Yes, Pastor Roger. I look forward to something tomorrow morning. Bring coffee, too. Yes. Oh, encouragers, encourage one another. You know, the word encourage, it's such a cool word because you see the word courage in there. And the word en at the very beginning, the prefix, encourage literally means to put courage into somebody. So you breathe encouragement, you speak encouragement, you put courage in somebody. On the other hand, discourage means to suck the courage right out of them. And we've all had people do that to us, right? Speak a discouraging word over us, and it just like sucks the life out of you. Let's be encouragers, church. Amen? Yeah. Let's help one another be more tenacious by speaking life and speaking encouragement into one another. You need a band of brothers. I think about even someone as courageous and tenacious as David, King David. Man, you talk about a tenacious guy. King David was tenacious, but even David needed people in his life. And God put one person in his life by the name of Jonathan, who was the son of King Saul. 1 Samuel 23:16 says, on one occasion, Jonathan went to find David and encouraged him to stay strong in his faith in God. I love it. There are times that Jonathan just reminds David that he's going to be the next king, which is pretty cool because honestly, in the natural, Jonathan should be the next king. But Jonathan keeps telling David, you know God's called you. You know God's working in your life. You know God has chosen you. Don't give up, David. Let me encourage you. We all need Jonathans in our life. Hallelujah. Number four, I know you're going to love this one. If you want to have a more tenacious spirit, you're going to have to go through some trials. Oh, yay. Yeah. That's the truth, though. It's the truth. If you want to have more tenacity in your life, it's going to take going through some tough times, going through those trials so that you learn to depend upon God in your life. Undergoing through trials is one of the ingredients that God uses to build faith in us, to encourage us, to make us more tenacious. James chapter 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces tenacity. It actually says perseverance, but same thing. Produces perseverance. All right? That's what trials. God never wastes pain, guys. Last week, I shared with you this concept of, in the spirit, going through different seasons. Right? And we talked about seasons, and that resonated with many of you because you shared with me after church or throughout the week that was something that really blessed you, just thinking about the seasons. And so I want to talk about one season because it's coming up. We're coming into it right now, and that is the winter season. Now, for some of you, you love winter. Some of you hate winter. The truth is we head into the winter, a lot of things change. The fruit has been harvested off the trees. The leaves have fallen off of the trees. And honestly, many of the trees in the valley here, they, if you didn't know better, you would think they were dead in the winter, right? There's no fruit, there's no leaves, there's no flowers on them. You know, they look dead. And this is what life can feel like sometimes for us. We're going through a winter season sometimes in our life. And you don't feel very flowery, right? And you're not producing a lot of fruit that you can see. And all your leaves have fallen off. And just, you know, from the outside appearance, you look at things and go, man, I don't know. I feel dead right now. I feel like there's nothing there. But I want to encourage you with this thought. In the winter season, when a tree looks like it's got nothing going on, the leaves are gone, the fruit's gone, it's nothing but bare branches, it looks dead, there is a part of the tree that will continue to grow. You know what that is? The roots. So even though everything looks dead on the surface, underneath the surface, the roots are continuing to grow. Why? They're looking for what the tree needs. Because winter's not going to last forever. Spring is coming. And that tree is going to be ready for the spring because the roots have gone down. And because it's got good roots, when spring comes and the leaves come back and the flowers come back, that tree's going to be healthy and it's going to be fruitful and full of life. So I want to encourage you in the winter seasons of your life. The winter seasons of your life, when it feels like things are dying, there's roots still going down. And they're connecting with everything God has for you, okay? And they're getting the nutrition that you need because the winter's going to be over. And at the end of winter, spring's going to be there. And because spring is there, life's going to come. And the reason life's going to come is because your roots have gone down where they need to be in the winter season of your life. So no matter how you might look or feel or whatever it might be, I want to encourage you, God's still at work in your life. Amen? God's still at work in the winter season. Let those roots go down. That means in this winter season of my life, I'm going to go after God. I'm going to dig in even more now. Right? Because this winter's not going to last forever. God is teaching you how much you need Him. And that's going to serve you well come springtime. Come on, church. Yeah. And then one last ingredient, ingredient number five, is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit fills us so that when we come to an end in our own strength and our own power, that's not the end, because God's right there. Amen? God's going to fill you up with everything you need. That's why He has sent His Holy Spirit into our lives. I think about the Apostle Paul when he had this thorn in the flesh. We don't know exactly what that was. He goes to the Lord three times. And he's wondering, why do I still have this thing? And finally, the Lord speaks to him. And the Lord tells him, the reason I haven't taken this away is because, and I'm paraphrasing, because I'm teaching you to depend on me. And as you do that, you're going to be stronger than ever. And then the Apostle Paul says, so I thank God in my weak times. I thank God when I'm coming up short. Again, I'm paraphrasing. But at the end, this is not the paraphrasing. This is not a paraphrase. He says, when I am weak, then I am strong. Love it. When I'm weak, I'm actually at my strongest. Why? Because the Spirit of God's at work in my life, and He's going to get me through this. Romans chapter 15 and verse 13 says this, and spoiler alert, by the way, this is our theme verse for 2022, all right? You'll forget by January, so I'll remind you in January. But this is our theme verse for next year. May the God of hope fill you, doesn't come from yourself, it comes from God. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow. Everybody say overflow? Overflow. You know, overflow, that means there's more than enough. Overflow means not only do you have enough, you've actually got more than enough. It's an overflow of what? Overflow with hope. By the power of the Spirit. So when we let the Spirit of God fill our lives and we wait upon God in prayer and we say, God, fill me, there's going to be an overflow in our lives. There's going to be more than enough. And we're going to be tenacious. Amen? We're going to be tenacious because of what God is doing in our lives. Psalm 18 and verse 29, I love this. David wrote, with your help, I can advance against a troop. With my God, I can scale a wall. He's saying, bring it on, devil. Bring it on. God's on my side. That's tenacity, being tenacious. So there you are, the five ingredients for a tenacious spirit: a love for God and people, clear convictions, a band of courageous brothers and sisters, throw in a few trials filled with the Holy Spirit, take those five ingredients, put them in a bottle, shake it up, take off the cork, and watch out. Because you're going to be a tenacious person with God's help. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's bow our hearts before the Lord. Worship team, come on up. Hallelujah. Everybody across this place, just bow your hearts before the Lord for a minute, because I want to pray for you today. I know some of you in this place today, like, you're so tenacious, you didn't even need this sermon. You could have preached it. You already have such a tenacious spirit, and you're just firing on all cylinders right now. And praise God for that. Praise God for the season you're in. Amen. Well, let me warn you, not going to be that way forever. Not going to be that way all the time. Some of you, on the other hand, this morning, you feel quite the opposite. Some of you can identify with the idea of being in a winter season in your life. And you feel very drained, discouraged. Like the word tenacious is not in your vocabulary right now. It's not how you would describe yourself. And I want to encourage you with a couple of thoughts. First of all, the winter season is just a season. It's a season. And just like the seasons of the year, it won't last forever. Spring is coming. Okay? And then let me also encourage you with this thought. You might not feel tenacious, but the God you serve is tenacious. He's so tenacious, he'll never give up on you. He'll never let go. He'll never let go. So don't give up on yourself. Don't give up. There's an old saying that goes, when you feel like you've come to the end of your rope, tie a knot and hold on. Maybe that's how you feel today. Feel like you're at the end of your rope and your pastor just wants to say to you today, tie a knot and hold on, because God always comes through. Always comes through. How many of you, just by a show of your hands, would say this morning, that's kind of where I'm at, Pastor Tim. I feel like I don't have a lot of strength left. I don't feel tenacious at all today. And I needed this reminder. If that's you today, just raise your hand. Just wave at me. Yeah. Yeah. Thanks for being honest. Thank you. Here's what we're going to do. The worship team is going to lead us in a great song in just a minute. But before they do that, I want to pray for you. Those of you who raised your hand, I'm going to ask all of you to stand to your feet this morning. And those of you who raised your hand, which there's many of you, I want to pray for you this morning. I'm going to ask you to make your way down the aisle and just come up and join me in the front, because I want to pray over you today. Come on. Come on. We're going to stand with you in prayer. You need a dose of Holy Spirit tenacity today. You're in the right place because God is here. You're in the right place because you're surrounded by brothers and sisters who love you. And even though you might feel alone, you're not alone. You're not alone. God's on your side. Your pastor's on your side. Your church is on your side. And today we're going to believe that God is going to do something in your spirit to remind you that you're stronger than you think. You're stronger than you think. Now I'd like a band of brothers and sisters to join these guys up here. Just put a hand on their shoulder to remind them they're not alone. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Lord. Those of you who are online, you can't be here in person this morning. I want you to know I'm praying for you as well. You might not be here, but God's with you today. God's with you today. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come to you. And we thank you, God, that when we are weak, you are strong. God, that we don't feel very tenacious. We don't feel very tenacious. But God, the God we serve, will never give up. Will never give up on us. So in the name of Jesus right now, I pray. We pray together for our brothers and sisters. We pray for power from on high to fill their heart right now in their life. We pray even the words of the Apostle Paul where he says, I'm convinced. Maybe there are those that walked into this place today and they weren't so convinced. I pray that today, God, they'd leave this place convinced, convinced in their heart. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God, I pray a lion-like spirit, a lion-like spirit. I pray for your Holy Spirit to come and fill us this morning. I want everybody to lift your hands to the Lord. Fill me, Lord. Fill me with power from on high. I need you, God. I need you, God. Fill me with your presence and your power, God. Breathe life, Lord. Hallelujah. God, I might be walking through a winter season right now, but God, I'm going to put down roots. I'm going to let those roots go deep. I'm going to go after you, Lord. I'm going to go after everything you have for me, Lord. Hallelujah. I'm going to put down roots right now. In my winter season, I will not be stopped. I will not give up. I will not quit. God, I'm going to lean into you. I'm going to depend on you. I'm going to trust in you, God. When I am weak, you are strong, God. You're my strength. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Now lift your voice to the Lord. Just praise him this morning. Just say, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, God. Hallelujah, God. Oh, we praise you, Lord. We worship you, Father. Oh, God. Hallelujah. Our worship team is going to lead us in a powerful song. I want to just invite those of you who come forward, just stay up here, all right? Just stand up here. Continue to just wait in the presence of God. Let the Holy Spirit saturate you today. Let the Holy Spirit fill you and empower you today. And let's just let this next song open our hearts to God today. Hallelujah.